Welcome to MGO Podcast 10.0B. Seth really wanted to change the numbering scheme, but then I told him that that's not going to happen. So that's, I guess it's a lettering scheme, too. It's a numbering and a lettering scheme. It's very...
Anyway, this is the second one.
Diverse. Hey, welcome back to part B, or two, whatever, of Michigan's season preview podcast. Right off the bat, we would like to thank our sponsors, Underground Printing, The Bow Store, Homeshore Lending, the University of Michigan Alumni Association, the Residence Inn Ann Arbor Downtown, Peak Wealth Management, Ann Arbor Elder Law, Human Element, Ecotelligent Homes, and Michigan Law Grad. So this part of the preview is the fun part.
It sure is.
Michigan returns 9-ish starters from a not quite elite, but very, very good defense a year ago. And they still have Don Brown. They have guys who are expected to step up and have been getting the right kind of practice talk at most of the spots that are even vaguely in question. And they have a 5-star at nose tackle. This looks like another Michigan defensive line that will be on par, perhaps, with 2006 and 2016. Where it's just killers up and down the line. And like 2016, they have a lot of good depth, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, assuming these young guys break through, I mean, we've heard a lot of good stuff about Carlo Kemp.
Who's our seventh lineman?
Start with, but like, but the fact that you have a guy that far down, I mean, they could potentially go 9 deep. And that was what you had on the 2016 line when you got all the way down to Godin.
Yeah, Matt Godin, who was a solid
who started
Big
over
Ten
Mo
player.
Hurst.
Yes.
Yes, started.
Started.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to use quote, but like he really did split snaps with him.
Yeah, and it wasn't a thing where
it didn't seem insane, despite the fact that Mo Hurst was incredibly good.
Yeah, and he's going to be... Who's the Godin of this line? It's probably Kemp, a 4-star guy entering his third year. But let's start with the starters.
Yes.
Those guys.
Sorry.
The defensive ends are the number one recruit in the country entering his junior year, and his more productive sidekick. I guess you can't be a sidekick if you're slightly more productive.
No, and not when you have that hair.
No.
And when you're out there every single play.
It's definitely Thor hair. It's very leading man.
Yeah, Thor is nobody's sidekick.
So... Rashawn Gary?
I don't actually know that, but...
Ace thinks that you're Winovich's sidekick. I can get you his address whenever you want.
Why are you trying to kill me, man?
I don't know, man. It's just fun. Sorry.
So this is going to be my last podcast.
Well, you know, you had a good run.
It wasn't my choice, but here we are.
Talked about nipples some
more. Yeah, we'll have to do a little retrospect
but
at the end.
If this isn't the best defensive end pairing in the country, it's probably because Clemson has an insane line or Ohio State has an insane line. It will be in the same breath as those two guys. Those two guys will be in the same breath as the best defensive end pairings in the country. No question.
I mean, you know, Seth alluded to one of Winovich's greatest bits of value here, which is that he does not ever come off the field.
He doesn't, and that's...
And still manages to play at an insanely high motor level. Like, he doesn't come off the field and he doesn't take plays off.
Yeah, there was a article from Big Ten Media Days where someone asked a Big Ten offensive lineman whether Gary or Bosa was harder to block. He said Winovich. And I think that's probably not
factually
true. I can
get that from an offensive lineman's perspective because, by God, does it have to be angry for Chase Winovich to be beating you off the edge all day long.
And he yells
and
at you.
And then talking to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why didn't you block me?
Like, because he is so good-natured that I imagine his trash talk has to be the most infuriating thing in the world.
Like,
Yeah, he was mic'd up on the Amazon special. He was just like, how come you didn't block me? I was coming. I told you I was coming. How come you didn't block me?
He's the type of dude who would tell you good job after he sacked the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, and just like,
and that's worse than a guy telling you you suck.
You think you've got him blocked, and you're like, all right, I've done it this time. He's 10 yards past the quarterback. We're fine. Play is over. And then he just keeps going, and you're like, quick, just stop it. It's over.
He's got that old school kind of thing where he gets blocked way back there, and then all of a sudden his arm comes around the tackle who's blocking him and is like now threatening the quarterback.
Yeah, he's very good at ripping back under.
Yeah.
Winovich was, as you might expect, a little bit wild as a run defender.
That's true. Some of the things that make him great are also the things that can make him occasionally
less so
unreliable.
Last year, that's true. And he's never been in kind of that Jake Ryan realm where it's like, that's kind of a major weakness. It's kind of a thing that happens every once in a while.
Well, he was also a fullback for the first half of his career. So, like, they were the first
not the
year.
The first half of the year.
Very not good idea. Yeah. NFL defensive end, and you're like, let's make him a fullback. That's Jim Harbaugh there for you.
Well, he also serves a really good purpose on this team because he is on a team where you never know where the pressure is coming from, and there are this many talented front seven players. Winovich is a heck of a cleanup guy.
That's a good point.
Like that, he's going to. I mean, we talked about him last year as a stat stealer because he was a guy who often benefit like his hard work and his doggedness and just never stopping on any play.
Yeah.
Is part of this, but you know, Rashawn Gary helped create a decent number of those tackles for loss.
And on a team that projects to have this good, many good cornerbacks, it's also that kind of persistent pass rush is something that will pay off more often.
Yeah, so if that quarterback has to wait a beat, step up in the pocket, it'll collapse quickly.
And then there's Gary, who was extremely productive a year ago. Didn't show up in the stats all that much because guys like Bush and Winovich were often stealing his sacks.
And is still projected as a top five NFL draft pick.
Yeah. And
quite reasonably, I think.
Top 10 is pessimistic. And like, still feels like he's not quite tapped all that potential yet.
There's kind of a Jabril Peppers career arc to him
little bit. Nah, I think, Peppers was not that exciting until he was really exciting. I think Gary was already one of the best defensive ends in the country.
That's fair.
What I'm talking about is, like, is this, like, his Ndamukong Suh year? Like, where he's just...
Well, that's sort of what I was getting at, too, is that we didn't get a year from Jabril Peppers that was absolutely transcendent.
Right. Yeah.
And we know Rashawn Gary has it in him, but is it going to be his junior year at Michigan, or is it going to be his rookie year in the NFL?
Right. And I think that's the exact question that you're asking about Gary. I think it's going to be this year, but you could see him just be like, not quite there and still go very high in the NFL draft because he has that upside.
Like Jadeveon Clowney did not have the production that people expected from him in college. It was still good production, but it was not otherworldly production, and then he still went number one in the draft.
And sometimes that's kind of out of your hands as a defensive end for the reasons that we've talked about.
But. Yeah.
But Gary had a couple things last year. He was sometimes...
His shoulder thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
And he also wasn't like perfectly he wasn't perfectly technically sound.
No.
And he's been, I trust that he's been working harder than anybody.
The shoulder thing I think is a big thing, cuz like he had come off the field fairly frequently. Yeah. So he must have been hurting pretty badly. And so if that's cleaned up and he's really fully ready to go, that plus like now I'm a year older
and he's got Greg Madison as a position coach.
Yeah, yeah, this all talks to like upside that he has not even scratched yet.
Yeah. The interior line is all new, but it's mostly all new.
Speaking of upside yet to be scratched yet.
Yeah. Though. Aubrey Solomon actually emerged into a starter at nose tackle late in the year where he was functional. I don't think he was exciting, but he was also a true freshman. And Michigan,
there were flashes.
Yeah, he flashed. And you kind of moved away from that 3-3-5 once it turned out that they thought Solomon was a better player.
He could hack it.
And the Furbush, kind of gambit had run its course.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who's a five-star, becoming a true sophomore.
The Furbush bandit sounds like some Civil War something or other.
Yes, let's stick with that interpretation instead of
any other of the interpretations that mines would
instead
lead
of
to.
The Zach Smith. Did
you pull, yeah, you pull that off of Zach Smith's Amazon?
Did we have to? I looked at those. Let's not.
You did it. I didn't do it. You did it.
You both did it.
Yeah, whatever. So Solomon could be kind of a sophomore Hurst-ish. I mean, I shouldn't bring up Hurst yet because we're going to bring up Hurst in the near future. But, like,
true.
I feel like he's a guy who could make a bunch of explosive plays. And then remember Hurst's game against Indiana where he was just getting edged a lot because he was too aggressive and they were kind of gashing him? Like, I feel like he'll be a very good player with maybe an obvious deficiency or two.
And there was a series or two last year where Solomon got caught on the field in that. I think Indiana did that to him. And that was a big reason that they kind of clawed their way back into that game as they caught him on the field. And Mike DePort actually knew to hurry up for once, which...
everybody has a Wile E. Coyote year where they change coaches. And it's the same for 1 year, and then it just...
At the same time, we haven't mentioned his senior tape yet, and I feel like that needs to be mentioned every time Aubrey Solomon gets brought up. Because his senior tape was something that I think should have earned him a much higher place in the recruiting rankings than where he fell.
He was already a five-star.
That was top 10 overall tape, and that's not where he landed.
Against, like, top Georgia talent, too. He was that's, like, one of the best high school tapes that I think we've
ever seen. And there were reasons for it, because he wasn't in the same shape as junior year and was less productive, and it's hard to catch up to that high a level to break into that top tier. Well, and he also dominated at the Army game.
I specifically remember that, like, kind of going into his senior year, everybody's like, there's no five-star DT in this class. There's nobody who really stands out. And then he was the guy who really blew up as a senior. So track record of improvement, true sophomore, has a 5 or 6 or 7 games as a starter under his belt already. Every expectation, he should be good. Like, I don't think he's going to be great.
But there hasn't been a lot of hype from him, but it could just be like five stars on track.
He had appendicitis, so he's been...
That's right.
He's been kind of in and out. So I think if there's any concern, that would be it. But I think we're far enough away removed from that that won't be a problem. At 3-Tech, the Gary throw-in, the guy who is like, why are we getting this guy? Oh, it's for Rashawn Gary. Okay. Also, the most heavily hyped player who hasn't seen the field in Michigan in the last 2 years, Mikey Wumford.
I should have told Jim Harbaugh that we were doing this podcast today because he would come in here just to join us for this segment.
That really happened. So they record their podcast. And I'm talking.
I started out like, that's absurd. And then we're like, oh, right. Yeah, no, it's not.
And I was there and like, because he helps him do it. And then Jim's done. And so he gets up and goes away. He walks back into the room. He sits down and he says, ask me about breakout players just so he can talk about Mike Mumford.
Into the tea leaves.
Right. And the fact that he was getting hyped last year. When Michigan had absolutely no need for a 3-tech.
Right.
They had Mo frickin' Hurst on campus. There was no need to talk about this freshman who didn't have very much hype at all. And people were already talking about him as the next comment.
And people weren't worried about depth. It wasn't like some terrifying thing where it was like, we have to hype up somebody just so people feel okay about this.
Yeah.
Like, but that was not the case.
I think if we had gotten a spring game this year, we would be like... fawning over whatever was going on there, because the practice hype has not stopped, and it's not just Harbaugh and the coaches that are saying it. The players all talk about him too.
Everybody. So as far as a nondescript 3-star new starter, I think everybody has the most confidence possible in Mike Dwumfor. That's not to say he's going to be Mo Hurst immediately, but Mo Hurst
or potentially ever. Mo Hurst was an extremely good
player. We are getting the Fred Jackson about Dwumfor where he's Mo Hurst but big.
We are getting
which
that.
It's like, oh, that's unrealistic. I don't think that he's going to be nearly as impactful as Mo Hurst, but he's a guy who I think will easily slide in as a solid Big Ten starter at a minimum and probably be a very good player this year. This is his third year. It's not his second year, so he's really on that track.
And even if he's just a starter, there are so many other stars. There are so many stars on this defense that you can have just a starter.
Right. Like, there. I mean, even if the defensive tackles aren't, like, getting in the backfield every other play.
Just push the pocket a little bit.
And, right. Like, and don't get blown out by doubles on the ground. And Michigan's defense is going to be lights out. Backing all these guys up.
Speaking of not getting blown up by doubles, Brian Modeh is still large.
He's a fifth-year senior battle tank. Who will never do anything in the pass rush, but should be an impossible move on short yardage, and can move guys himself when given single blocking.
And at one point, he really was an explosive five-star level.
But then the injury,
I mean, yeah, I think we've lost that player. But
I think he lost that
still
player.
A tremendously strong defensive.
Yeah,
tackle.
And the athleticism is still there, and he's been playing defensive line here a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a guy I could trust.
If he was a linebacker, you'd call him a two-down player. But that's like having a fifth-year senior of that size with that capability as a backup nose tackle is really, really useful to have.
Yeah, especially since. I mean, we've seen Michigan go 3-3-5. They have the capability of doing it. You don't need Brian Monet unless he's good enough to be out there.
Yeah. And then some guys are going to emerge from the pile behind. I think the most obvious one is Kwitipaye, who came on last year, didn't get many snaps because Winovich never came off the field. But whenever he got on the field, he looked like a really excellent athletic package. And now he's up to 260, people are saying.
Potentially getting mentioned as the backup at both defensive end spots, which means they've trusted him enough to work in the both defensive end spots.
Yeah,
those are not the same.
Yeah, I think he's primarily at anchor, which is even more impressive because, you know, Don Brown trusts the anchor to make the line calls, and, you know, backing up Gary it's a harder job.
Well, and it's also just that's far away from what we expected him to develop into this quickly when he was a recruit.
Yeah, well, he has two major things going for him. One, refugee. And two, you knew I was going to bring that up. And two, he's like in the Don Brown stomping grounds. And if there's anyone I trust to pull a dude out of Rhode Island and be like, yep, it's Don Brown.
Indeed.
So like he's got the tremendous athletic.
He was the number one player in Rhode Island.
He was the only ranked player.
But Boston College is still like putting guys like that in the draft.
Exactly.
Found.
Like, you know, honestly, the guy that they overlooked who played safety and went to Syracuse, Ifeato Melifonwu, should have taken that guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, brother's in the NFL, and guess who recruited him? Don Brown. So I have every confidence that Kwitipaye is going to be a solid backup this year and possibly maybe even a little more. And then you have Lawrence Marshall, the fifth-year three-tech who –
spring hype.
He's forever getting hyped up as a guy who's going
third
to
position
contribute.
Now.
I think he's just like the nicest guy in the world, and people just want him to be like, all right, this is going to be it for Lawrence Marshall. But
there, I mean, there is also potential, like, you know, a guy in his final year does sometimes just like finally reach the point of development physically where they can at least hold up on the field and be a solid rotational player.
It does seem like Matt Godin is the ceiling here. Like he's either going to be out there or not.
But Godin would be absolutely fine.
It would be absolutely fine. And then you've got Carlo Kemp, who was Gary's backup last year, has continued to add weight and move down.
Was a linebacker at one point.
Very, very briefly. Yeah.
A hot second.
He counts for my All-Michigan position switchers team. That's the important thing.
Okay. Well, he switched positions again and hasn't gotten the level of hype as some of the other guys, but has been talked about fairly positively for a while now.
Yes.
I feel like...
And he did see the field at some last year. Like, he was a guy that they trusted when Gary was out of the game, and there wasn't a huge trade. It wasn't like something where you saw teams immediately go at that guy constantly.
And then Donovan Jeter, the former defensive end who's now 3'10", was actually generating a bunch of practice hype last year, but then had an injury that kind of knocked him out for. So he's a redshirt freshman. He's the third string nose tackle. I'd be pretty confident seeing him out there. We probably will see him out there. And then, you know, the only kind of spot where it's like, I don't really know about that is weak side end. And Chase Winovich is there, so he's never coming off the field.
Yeah, right. I mean, he just doesn't come off the field. You do have, Luigi Villain is very talented, and we've heard some things about him flashing that talent. He just keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
But if he can stay healthy, he's a very talented guy there. And Aiden Hutchinson is a guy who blew up late, who impressed at the Army. And
has been impressing all through fall, too.
And he's getting a lot of
practice hype. I mean, his profile is
hype.
Really, really encouraging because he commits to Michigan, and people are like, who is this 210-pound guy?
Right. Dork. And, I mean, that's what he looked like.
And I do his recruiting profile, and I'm like looking at the images, and I'm like, is this the same person?
Yeah.
And it really looks like two completely different people.
If you remember Chris Hutchinson, too, he's not at all like his dad was like 6'2 or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember Chris Hutchinson.
He's a big, fast dude, and he's apparently the weak side end now, and that's a real surprise because he was supposed to be strong side end.
Yeah.
And if that portends, I mean, he did have like 2.5 sacks in the
he's got game. A weird style. Like he's going to be an unusual guy to block as a weak side end, as a rotational weak side end, because he's not what you're going to be used to seeing there.
And then they've got
and you're only going to see him for a few snaps a game.
Yeah. You are. They've got Ron Johnson and Reuben Jones back there. Nobody's talking about them. And then Taylor Upshaw, who's a project to work on to see like if he can become his dad. Yes. And then Julius Welshoff, the mogul skiing
juice.
German.
Juice.
I watched his moguls. He is not a champion mogul skier.
Yeah, it was a bit of a stretch. But he is a very large man who can do a backflip on his skis.
I have skied moguls. I am impressed when a 6'6" guy can make that work.
His insane homemade 1980s music workout videos were way more impressive. He did some weird balance stuff in there that was kind of boggling.
He's definitely
for
like,
a guy that size.
He's definitely like a roving like movie montage of a man.
he's a Rocky training sequence.
Yeah, Push It to the Limit is currently playing. At all times, like you walk, if Welshoff walks into a restaurant, the radio flips over immediately, and everybody starts seeing like freeze frames. Anyway,
he's like eighth string on this defense.
He's like Harbaugh's Mo Wagner. So like Mo is like a wonderful guy because Beilein's like a wonderful guy, and Welshoff is just I love football even though I'm from Germany. Anyway,
he's an upside play.
Yeah,
and we'll see him at the end of some beatdowns.
So that's it for the defensive line. After the break, a rabid squirrel and his even more rabid cousin.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com. If you need a place to stay in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94, there's a new hotel downtown, and the owners, who should be well known to the Michigan community, have asked our help to get the word out. The Martin family, yes, that Martin family, recently opened the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown, just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium. They're competitively priced and offer a free hot breakfast, free Wi-Fi, fully equipped kitchen and every suite, and an indoor pool. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
I grew up in a small town of Hazlitt, Michigan, and I witnessed a lot of great people making a lot of poor financial decisions. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to have my retirement at risk. Over the last 17 years, my team has developed and refined our process, which helps people understand what's important to them and what they value most. And because people don't have pensions anymore, we're adding in multiple income streams during retirement. At Peak Wealth Management, our goal is to build long-lasting relationships, and we do that by building trust, by showing our integrity, and letting them know how much we care. And that's one of the most important things we do here at Peak, is understand your goals and help you get there.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor, from San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far, because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
I take what I want. I'm a beggar, getter, yeah.
linebacker. Michigan returns probably the best hybrid space player in the country unless...
Oh, you didn't lead with Devin Bush.
Well, I mean...
Calling Devin Bush the best hybrid space player.
No, but like, I mean, I could lead with Devin Bush. I like Devin Bush a lot. But I think it is the responsibility of this blog to lead with Khalik Hudson whenever is possible.
Fair enough. We have been stands.
We saw what happened when Minnesota ignored him.
And, I mean, I basically told people that he would be Jabril Peppers without the punt returns. And people were like, no,
that's crazy
stupid
talk.
And then that's exactly what happened.
Yep. It's hard to add much to that. I don't know. Like, he's...
I mean, the one thing
he's
that...
plays. Minnesota didn't block him, and we need to acknowledge that his stats are a little misleading because of that.
Yeah, he did have, like, 8 TFLs on which, like... He had 0 blocks attempted.
But he's also somebody who had an interception while playing a deep half.
Yeah.
And that's the strong side linebacker.
And he was doing the Peppers thing where he just sets that edge. He just zooms up so fast that there's no room to run and then forces the run back into the meat grinder inside, and that's the end of your play.
And he's another guy like Winovich who is constant effort, high motor, chase down. Some of the plays against Minnesota were him like, turning back around.
Yeah, you can leave him on the field for everything.
He's tackling Rodney Smith, and that's a big boy, and he's tackling with authority.
Yes.
So, perfect Don Brown player.
Another guy who is rocked up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get them in this podcast, too.
So, a couple of things. Michigan last year loved his blitzing so much that they would rather have put Mike McCray on someone like, I don't know, Saquon Barkley.
Which was insane, but apparently, he made that almost justifiable.
He did. I have faith that Michigan's going to get to the quarterback, so I'm hoping that we see less inside linebackers.
I also have faith that they have more athletic linebackers.
That's true. Also, Hudson did blow a couple of coverages last year. There was a touchdown against Ohio State where there was a tight end running wide open. That's because he didn't carry him down the seam. So improve the mental side of the game. He was just a true sophomore. So.
At a position that asks a ton of a player.
So that's going to be just fine. Backups are, it's the last Glasgow for now. I'm sure they're going to reproduce like crazy.
They better.
Yeah, please.
But Jordan Glasgow.
It's a weird thing to ask, but still, please do.
We've been talking about him like bouncing between safety and Viper the whole time. It's clear he should be a Viper.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the raw athleticism to be a safety. And when he does get on the field, he's able to shed blocks. He's a hard-nosed player.
And we can see him in space, in tight spaces, like the fake punt by Ohio State.
Yes, I was actually literally about to bring that up, where he's able to shed the block and get there. So... that's the spot for him. I don't expect to see him on the field very much.
No.
But like, if he does end up on the field because Hudson is dinged and no more, let's knock on wood, then I'm relatively comfortable. It'll be a big downgrade.
Well, it'll also be interesting to see if they turn to Glasgow there as a pure one-for-one Viper switch or if they go with one of the more situational type guys if they have to do that because you got Josh Uche there.
And people have been talking about Uche and the way that
presages a breakout.
I mean, they're talking about him like you have to put him on the field.
Yeah.
And they're talking about him like he needed to be talked about as the kind of recruit he was, which is basically a very tiny, amazing edge pass rusher.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what he's panning out as.
Yeah, and that's either going to work out really well or not at all.
I mean, right. I've been beating the drum on that guy forever. And Boston College, those guys usually took like 3 years to get on the field too because you have to teach them how to pass drop, and they just come in as like skinny pass rushers.
Right, like Ojemudia, except they weren't actually playing defensive tackle. that's actually a really good shout. Like, I think Uche might be the guy who gets most of the non-Hudson playing time just because he has a unique skill set.
And you've also got Furbush there who played there a bunch last year. I mean,
he did. I kind of feel like that card.
They may just put that away. Yeah, the funky 3-3-5 fullback role. Like.
Right, because he wasn't able to pass drop. He's a kind of a one-dimensional guy in that role, and it was effective for a time, and then everybody figured out that he was actually just a bonus defensive lineman, and so then they were able to block
but
it.
But small, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, if he times it right and he's flying to the – I mean, this whole 3-3-5 principle is – you can get away with a smaller guy if he has momentum. And so, it worked fairly well, but I kind of feel like that was that was most of Noah Furbush's non-special teams time for the rest of his career.
Yeah, we may potentially see Michael Barrett there more than him because of the four games rule.
Possibly.
I mean, he's really interesting of Viper, and they're talking about him. I mean, first of all, they put him there even despite his obvious upside at running back, which is a position that they could maybe use another body at.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they like Turner, so...
But they could also potentially... they also could use a guy as a future true Viper, and they've sort of anointed him as that early.
I mean, they do have a couple guys in this class who are going to be vying for that spot as well.
Right.
Have
they needed a guy on the field.
He will have competition, but they needed to get somebody, you know.
And the prospect of an early entry from Hudson is out there, so like you need to you need to blood the next guy pretty immediately. Yeah. So he'll be an interesting guy to watch, hopefully in exactly four games and no more. Now we're going to talk about Devin Bush.
Yes,
is that
here
okay?
We go. Yeah, I'm okay with
that. All right, so you go first since you're so.
I mean, you know, he's rocked up Doom Squirrel.
He cut his dreads, which is a disaster.
But he gained 15 pounds, so whatever you want to call the dreads.
What if this is like a Samson thing? I'm just saying. It's happened before.
Alternatively,
biblically.
What if it cuts down on drag?
It's possible, but...
What if
he does reach terminal velocity. It may be tough to improve.
What if they can't tell it's him out there, and they're like, oh, I don't have to block that guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think other teams were really starting to game plan around him and identify him on the
field
last year.
They're block the guy with blood all over his jersey.
That doesn't accumulate until at least the second quarter.
Doesn't have long hair. Has no Furbush. Don't worry about him.
Guy carrying around 16 different helmets. From his scalped quarter item.
That would have been a reason to want Devin Gill to beat out Josh Ross is that he would have also had dreads and you would have maybe been able to do some trickery.
So
there.
I just
we may have strayed a little bit from the point here, but
I just loved the idea of Dave Brandon watching Devin Bush play and be like, oh, that guy couldn't play for me. He's got dreads, and now he doesn't have dreads, so that's too bad. But anyway, that's the only Dave Brandon reference we'll have in this podcast, probably.
Maybe.
His backups are...
We can never promise that.
Undetermined, mostly because they are also competing at the open weak side spot vacated by Mike McCray. The most prominent of those being Josh Ross and Devin Gill, who loves bucket helmets like all Devins. And sounds like a really legitimate competition that... I don't really know if anyone is pegged a favorite in.
No, and I mean we were about ready to write Gill off last year, I think, and then in the Florida game, Mike McCray has the weird situation where he's out for the first series or two.
He had an intestinal distress.
And I was trying to be polite about the situation.
This is like the real world. when keeping it real...
We did talk about the offensive tackles
podcast,
in the last podcast.
Not a Ohio State.
We're manning up and talking about intestinal situations.
All right, let's move on.
Anyway, he came on the field against Florida, and even though Florida stunk on offense, he looked sound in that game.
He looked
and
fine,
even pretty good. Made a couple plays.
Yeah, he had a couple
and was in the right place.
Tackles that were kind of sideline-ish to sideline-ish.
And Florida's a team where even when they're not playing well, they do at least show you whether you belong athletically. And he did not look out of place on that field.
And we have to like. Give Devin Bush Sr. his props. Like, Michigan took three guys from his defense at Flanagan. One of them is Devin Bush. One of them is Josh Metellus, and one of them is Devin Gill. So even though Gill, like, I was very skeptical about him in the recruiting profile because there really are no upward pointing errors for him. But now that you see the other two guys on that defense and you have Devin Bush as like a guy who obviously knows talent, you do have some upward arrows there. I'm still hoping for Josh Ross, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think his upside is higher. I mean, I loved James Ross as a player. Like, I'm kind of attached to James Ross as a player. And he was like a guy who just like...
If Don Brown was
in the wrong defense at the wrong time. Yes.
He's a really good Don Brown linebacker. Yeah. And if his brother is that
but a little
plus
bit bigger.
30 pounds, then I'm intrigued to see that.
Yes, I'm very intrigued. Because, I mean, James was one of the most instinctual linebackers I've ever seen. I mean, and that dude could also set the freaking edge.
That's I just want the best coverage guy at this spot. Because we saw last year, that guy is often going to motion out with the running back and be kind of paired up with him in coverage. He's going to get the wheel routes. He's going to get the other stuff.
Where Gill might have an edge because that dude was at least early in high school a safety. Like,
he was a safety all the way through high school.
And Josh Ross has never been a safety.
And like safety converting to linebacker is a very Don Brown thing.
Yes.
So if that's what it takes to win the job, I think that might be the advantage Gill has. Because like, I don't know if they're going to be super concerned about that guy's run defense. He's got to be functional, right? But it's not like he's got to run that front.
There
center.
Are guys who will be able to cover for.
He was also the original rocked up from this offseason. Like he was the guy who came to spring and like. He even last year he looked like a tiny little safety playing linebacker, and now he looks like a linebacker.
Also, like you know, a couple of the Flanagan guys were a little puffy, and I say this as a puffy man, but like
there was some baby fat to work on.
Yeah, and it took a little bit, but I think both those guys are now, as we say, rocked up. And then
we're saying that now. I apologize.
It's okay. And then you also have Drew Singleton, who was, of course, the Gary revelation whenever he was watching the Paramus IMG game. He tore his ACL as a senior in high school, had kind of a recovery year.
Which prevented him from being a five-star, in my personal opinion.
Playing Sam, hopefully, he's also been talked about as the potential weak side guy. So that was a three-man race, and it's kind of become a two-man race, I think.
I think Singleton's also backing up Bush, and they're going to work him in this year because Bush is, unfortunately, the NFL is already smart to the guys.
This will be his last season.
I can't imagine that we get Devin Bush back. And then there's Cam McGrone, who is Devin Bush.
Yes. Again, my goodness.
Plus 2 inches, actually.
But he, like.
That was a violent senior highlight.
Everything about him is Devin Bush. And I kind of feel like his recruiting reputation was greatly aided by the existence of Devin Bush.
Yes, people realized like what that type of linebacker could do at the program that he was committed to.
Finally, Jordan Anthony is a redshirt freshman who is also practicing at Sam. He's a flexible guy, but he also bounced back between running back and linebacker in high school. So a guy who might take an extra
tremendous
year.
Athlete, but maybe more of a developmental guy.
So that's the linebacker unit. It should be pretty, pretty good. Not quite as good as the next unit we're going to talk about, though.
We have a lot in common. You rode the bus to Bursley, so did Larry Page, and so did I. And we all love MGO Blog. I'm Nick Hopwood, your MGO financial coach. My entire family went to Michigan State, but I was the smart one finding my way to Ann Arbor to study econ. I've been a financial planner for 17 years, earning the designation Certified Financial Planner, and founded Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth. Oh, you're pretty smart, and you probably have a sweet retirement spreadsheet already. My job is to make sure. As a financial coach, I make sure you're on track, or if you're not on track, I tell you exactly what you're going to need to do. And if you listen, I'll be able to tell you how your future should look, just like the knowledge. And I have cool charts and graphs to tell the story, sort of like the Mathlete. To learn more or schedule time to chat, check out peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Passion for e-commerce.
Sell stuff online.
Security, performance,
conversion.
Beautiful user experiences.
Belle expérience utilisateur.
Monthly marketing.
PPC SEO.
Make your user a customer.
Conversion.
Eau de Parfum for online retailers. Love your website. Let Human Element show you how. Available at human-element.com and find department stores, not find department stores.
Hi, this is Seth from MGO Blog. Got another story for you from my wonderful Tales of Homeownership. There was like a musty smell coming from my crawl space, and when we opened up, there were like a bunch of bugs in there. Anyway, I called EcoIntelligent Homes, and it's a good thing I did because as soon as the spring came, that could have gotten a lot worse. I really recommend these guys. They will find the source of the issue. Their licensed teams will install the fixes. They help you qualify for the right local rebates, and they offer financing. EcoIntelligent Homes is an award-winning DTE Energy and Consumers Energy trade ally. Call them at 248-291-7815 or visit their website at ecointelligenthomes.com.
If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
Thank you.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Just cackles.
I mean, what do you... Jesus.
My fingers are tented right now. I don't mean visual podcast.
I mean, the fourth cornerback would start on a lot of Big Ten teams.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing about this is that Mike Sordich calls Brandon Watson B-Watt. That's the only bad thing I can say about the quarterbacks.
Can't even go with Watt.
I mean, that's what it is. Like, Watt. What is that? Anyway. So Michigan gets Lavert Hill back. They get David Long back. And Zordage's work with those two guys was impressive.
Those two guys would be, depending on the Pro Football Focus stats you look at, arguably the two best corners in the country last year on a per-snap basis.
Yes.
They rotated more than some corners.
Like, Long, I think, had the best
passer rating against.
Hill got his hands on more balls than anyone else on a per-target basis. And then they rotated it in and out because the three-star who could only play press coverage found himself in a Don Brown defense and sort of...
And pressed Simikov so far into the sideline that he committed a penalty.
And Brandon Watson, who I was fairly skeptical about going into this year...
Yes, like we all were.
...legitimately took half of David Long's snaps.
And he might get passed. I think he has been passed by Ambry Thomas.
And then you have Ambry Thomas, who's a second-year player who's going to be
Who's off the Detroit cornerback factory now. Right. I mean,
God,
that's what this
has
is.
There been a turnaround as amazing as the we got a cornerback from Detroit? Like
that used to be something very different.
It was like Tarik Jones, Bubakar Sissoko.
It meant you were force feeding that dude ribs at Sound Mind, Sound Body in the hopes that he would grow into a college corner.
And I remember who was the guy right before Jordan Lewis?
Terry Richardson immediately preceded him, and then Delonte Hollowell,
yeah,
and Dion Mathis.
D.R. Mathis went to Oregon, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
But I wrote Jordan Lewis's recruit profile, and I was like, I just can't trust these guys.
It was tinged with skepticism, even though I was hard behind
you were. And I was just like, none of these guys ever work out. This guy's not going to work out either. And I was very wrong about that. And then it's Jordan Lewis, Lavert Hill, Ambry Thomas, and all these guys are going to be in the NFL.
And it seems like they're very similar.
Yeah, they're
especially Lavert Hill and Jordan Lewis.
Yeah.
But Thomas is another
He's a little more high cut, but he'll be the same kind of guy. So that's four
corners. And those dudes are all teaching each other. I mean, those dudes all come back and train with each other.
Well, I think Zordich last year was like, these guys suck. I hate them. Please bury me with my things. And this year he's like, tell my quarterbacks I love them.
That is... That is a verbatim quote from his press conference, the message that he wanted to get out there to him.
So that's the top four cornerbacks. That is the best cornerback group possibly in Michigan history. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Like Charles Woodson and some other guys is
like
the other
Andre Weathers was solid, but Andre Weathers was not one of the best corners in the country.
Right.
Andre Weathers is still going around telling people, me and Charles Woodson were the best cornerback duo in the
because Stanley Jackson flipped out and just like handed him a football.
Hey, man.
Sorry. I mean, huge play. Loved it.
Made the most of it. So behind those four guys, Michigan still has Benjamin St. Juiced, who's a redshirt freshman.
Well, first you got Casey Hughes, the Utah transfer.
That's right. Also, they have a grad
transfer. There are so many players on this defense.
They have a guy who started like half of Utah's games last year who decided to transfer to Michigan for...
And they started him in the safety room. And
is Wayne Lyon still in grad school?
Because they're going to try to get that dude on the field somehow, maybe, if they can. I don't know.
I feel like he may...
They might get him on before St. Juiced because it does sound like St. Juiced has both had some injury inconsistency. Yeah. He's somebody that Zordich has been willing to have some Zordich quotes about.
Sure. But St. Juiced is the vanguard of a line of 6'2 guys. Miles Sims and Jamon Green are the most corner-shaped of those 6'2 guys. But actually, Vincent Gray is a guy that people have been talking about in fall.
Yeah, the late in-state pickup.
Yeah, the late, who is that? We just need a body. Kind of.
This comment section is a bit of a tire fire pickup.
Yes.
Sorry.
So those guys are all for the future. Cornerback should be the best spot on the team. I stand by that. I can't.
That's saying something with defensive end, but yeah, I think given depth, I would agree with that.
I was looking at the line as a whole, so defensive end probably. But you're right,
because if we're separating corners from safety, so I think you got to separate ends from tackles.
Three corners anyway. Safety, by the way, Josh Metellus and Tyree Cannell are back, and they took some heat last year. Some of it deserved, some of it not particularly deserved. So Cannell did miss too many tackles, but I feel like the slot corner thing.
Some of those Trace McSorley throws were just inch perfect.
Well, and like there's one against Wisconsin where the guy is like making a circus catch while it's getting raked out. I just feel like he got,
because Hornibook brought it in a tight window. Dude,
right. Yeah.
Giovanni.
Who knew?
No. It wasn't just that.
Gio Russino hit
one of those. Like that, when Rutgers is hitting that
against
you.
That's when we knew that the slot corner was just something that we were doomed to be hit on by everybody.
And I feel like there's an element of freshman Jordan Lewis in this. If you remember freshman Jordan Lewis, he was always like two inches away from making a play. There's a
whole site tech.
So, you know, I feel like that is fine about Cannell, but he has to improve his tackling. And then there was a big difference when Michigan put Lavert Hill in the slot against Penn State. So they tried it again. Lavert Hill, I got an active pass breakup, didn't let the ball even get to the receiver. And I'm hoping that we see, like, if it's second and 10, I kind of want to see three cornerbacks in there.
Yeah, I mean, especially with, like, some of the uncertainty that we talked about, a weak side linebacker, that's probably the most uncertain spot on Michigan's otherwise incredible defense. And you could have a really proven high-quality player out there instead, and you're going against teams that spread the field out more.
And, like, how worried are you about the run defense? Like, really?
None.
And how much of a downgrade?
Approximately. And with the way Don Brown blitzes, too, like, having a guy who's a little bit undersized out there doesn't matter as much because you never know where the people are coming.
Also, Hill was actually a pretty good run defender last year.
Yes, he was salty out there.
So, like, yeah, I could see maybe some three cornerback, one safety packages, if that makes any sense.
I mean, that's what we're hoping for.
Or just a lot of base nickel.
Oh, yeah, a lot of base nickel.
Well, the program is just saying Jalen Kelly Powell can do that. And they're talking him up like he is exactly kind of what we want to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's coming through.
I think he might need another year.
Remember the slot corner against Wisconsin?
He was not close on that.
Which was not as well defended as the Cannell one.
And he's also somebody who's had to put on a lot of weight, and he's been bouncing between positions quite a bit and is just settling it.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like it's one more year for Kelly Powell. But
Jamarik Woods, I think, would get on the field before him. We saw Woods on the field last year.
We did, but the kind of people were talking coming out of spring practice that Hawkins and Kelly Powell were actually the top graded safeties in
spring.
That's true.
Hawkins is a very intriguing guy there just because of how much effort Michigan put into getting him on campus in the first place.
And his prep school tape.
That tape was quite something. And they didn't play him at the spot where he was really eye-popping. Because his wide receiver highlights there were bonkers.
Yeah, that was really good, leapy center field wide receiver play. So I feel that's something that translates to safety. So I feel like...
And what's interesting is they're talking him up as the dude who's the best man cover safety.
Yeah, I think what they said is he was injured for most of spring, and then when he came
Brian
back...
Brian is cocking an eyebrow, and that's what I did when I read it.
Yeah, that's... but he's injured most of spring, and then he came back, and for those four last practices of spring that he made, he was their highest graded safety. Full stop.
So...
I mean, it's a small sample size, but Hawkins is going to be on the field
maybe
this year.
Maybe someone... from that New Jersey.
I mean, I wouldn't have been discouraged if they were he's having a rough go in coverage right now, but he's at least found a home.
And then the nicest thing I think we can say about a safety is we haven't talked about Josh Metellus because he's boring.
He's a little bit less boring than I want him to be because he had some issues late in the year. He had a very bad Ohio State game. I thought he was good before that.
He might have got in his own head when he blew a play that might have completely changed the outcome of that game. I'm sorry to even bring
up. I mean, I'm not even really talking about the dropped interception, which will
happen. No, I know you are. I'm saying that might have impacted the rest of his playing in that game.
Sure.
Because that was an enormous play.
Certainly affected the rest of my evening.
Indeed. And month.
And then they have the other Green and Sammy Faustin. Those guys are not going to see the field as true freshmen.
No.
I can say that.
No.
So that's the defense. Coming up next, Wild Thing.
Bam, 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 bam.
Hi, this is Seth from MGO Blog. So we bought our home through a local bank. Family friend was the banker, but the underwriter was just it was a nightmare. So we went to refinance. I talked to Matt. It was so different. He shops the loan to different underwriters, so we were a priority for them. And he knows what they needed from us ahead of time, so we didn't have to keep digging through our old paperwork. He's incredibly ethical. He knows the system. He knows where they take advantage. And he keeps a small shop, and he does all the work himself, so he keeps all the costs down. Anyway, that's why I highly recommend Matt. He's licensed in Michigan, Ohio, and Florida. You can give him a call at 734-531-9950. Visit his new office in Ann Arbor on State Street or go to homesurelending.com/mgoblog and he'll take care of you. That's Homesure Lending, NMLS number 1161358.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Special teams.
Wild Thing.
Yeah, I don't think we're... Is that bet still on? It's got to be still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on.
Fair enough.
So... the thing is, you didn't actually do this. I just told you this was the case.
Yeah, this, and also there was no
it's not
other,
really a bet.
Yeah, there's no other side of it. No. Bets usually go two ways. Yeah. Like, this is just like...
This is just demand.
Yeah, this is just like suddenly your hair is on the line.
Which is... I think we all enjoy that fact.
I'm single now. It goes over better.
Well, I mean, that's probably something for Tinder. It's like, hey, look at my...
No, that is not something I'd put on Tinder.
I don't... I'm old. I don't know what... I don't know how you...
The Wild Thing haircut, I don't think.
You don't think that would be
Also, my hair's a little thinner than Quinn Nordine, so I'm not sure if it's going to look quite as, like, true to the original.
Your beard is very thick and luscious.
Yeah, head hair and facial hair are not connected in terms of
yours
thickness.
Oh, you mean like, okay.
I mean, yes, they are technically connected on my face, my sideburns.
The best kind of connected.
Yes.
So I'm going to go off topic here and talk about the kicker.
Talk about
okay.
Nordine, I mean,
well, you're going to talk about the kicker. We can keep talking about what we're talking about.
You can go ahead. I mean,
we're just asking for a little bit of consistency out of both my hair and Quinn Nordine.
Kicking consistency.
If he had spread out his like misses Lepata. Like over the season, as opposed to just like, you know, makes everything from 50 yards out, then all of a sudden he gets
well.
And
his misses
an
were
point.
From inexplicable spots.
He missed
sometimes.
Three extra points
and like a couple short field goals too.
Yeah.
And then there was the incident where him and Jim Harbaugh are screaming at each other. That was like, this is a little disconcerting.
I felt at that juncture that was an appropriate thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, sure, but like...
Jim Harbaugh was only channeling the entire Michigan zeitgeist when he was saying, make your field goal.
Like, we...
I mean,
we're dealing with a kicker who is into himself. I think we can say that safely. The recruitment video alone.
Well,
the commitment video alone.
Sure. The haircut.
And also the haircut.
Yeah. I feel like...
Like, there's some wild card... Like, the Wild Thing persona fits, man. Yeah. It fits. Dude can throw a heater, but sometimes it might hit the backstop.
What do we know about kickers? Kickers are weird. If he's the weirdest kicker we've ever had, he's probably also going to be the best kicker.
I sure hope. And he does absolutely have the potential. He's already on top of some record boards already.
Michigan did bring in a freshman this year named Jake Moody, who was a walk-on who the... I don't know, like freshman, I mean, special teams scholarships are always kind of weird, but he may be a scholarship kicker. He may not be. He may be like a walk-on who is first in line every year, which is essentially a scholarship player, but not really. But he's there.
The Glasgow scholarship.
Certainly not for Jim McElwain.
Indeed. So he's there, and if Nordine is shaky, you could see maybe a split there. If like Jake Moody... The best case for me is Jake Moody is one of those kickers who is money from a 38 and in.
I would like that.
That would be a great combination. Because
I mean, if you have to do the weird Alabama like long kicker, short kicker thing, I wouldn't feel great about it because I think when you have two kickers, you don't have a kicker sometimes because Alabama's learned that the hard way.
Sure.
I'd prefer Quinn Nordine just handling his business and maybe leveling it out a little
bit. It kind of seems like he needs to, like, you know, buckle down.
Yeah. But, you know, he was a true freshman last year.
Sure. Speaking of true freshmen, punter Brad Robbins.
That didn't go so great.
He replaced Will Hart after Hart shanked a bunch of punts, and then Robbins was real bad. And that's kind of strange because he was a scholarship kicker. I mean, he was headed to Nevada.
He was ranked very high by a couple different kicking camps,
I think. Those kicking camps are pretty much the only rankings you get, and they were very high on him.
And there was like film of him just kicking footballs very far in tremendous hang time, and then he just hit these ducks.
It's very strange to see like a 35-yard punt be easily returnable.
Yeah, because it wasn't even like when Will Hoggerup came in, he was somebody who like came in with some punter hype.
Yeah,
and
significant amount.
But like, and you saw it because like he was either booming one or shanking one. And what Robbins did wasn't that really.
No, he just kind of like made a bunch of.
It was like some high school punts.
Yeah, it was like some C-minus punts.
Yeah. Well, he had a couple of good ones first when they were calling him, when they couldn't figure out who number three was.
That's true.
When they kept calling him Gwynn Nordine.
Yeah.
They do wear, they're both kickers and they wear the same number. I have a lot of sympathy for the announcers
and,
in that
And
case.
Wilton Spate was wearing three and Gary was two.
We did a little Three is Wild last year.
Right, yeah. And we were trying to get James Doug Fugue into the three so that they could have the maximum number of threes on the roster.
Yeah, but like it,
but also yeah, like
we did see some good punts from him. So, it's
but
in there.
I don't know. Right, the talk out of camp right now is there is a three-man punter battle, and they refuse to name the third participant.
This is the most Big Ten thing
that
ever.
Is terrifying. Because I assume that means somebody walked off the street and they're like, "Hey, this kid can kind of punt, and we might need somebody who can kind of punt."
Yeah.
Or maybe Quinn Nordine can do it. I don't know. That's part of my hope for the position.
He did punt in high school. He actually punted a lot more than he kicked. He had like
because nobody attempts field goals in high school.
It's very strange. But I mean, other than tackle, this is kind of the most worrisome place on the field, which is good in a way.
Yeah. But then you get into a game against Ohio State and field position is going to be important, yeah. And I assume they have some terrifying Australian
I think it's
punters.
Very on-brand to have your punter be the hottest position battle on your team. Like I mean,
it's certainly on-brand for the Big Ten.
Yeah, if we're going to win the Big Ten this year, I think the way to go into it is with a massive punter battle.
I would have preferred to have a golden god like Ron Caluzzi. All right.
Or a space emperor.
Sure, yes. That's also a good shout.
Returns. Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, I know he had a touchdown, but I feel like, people how say,
I feel like you're hating.
People say, guys are quicker
like
than
you
fast.
Didn't watch him in high school.
I feel like Donovan Peoples-Jones is faster than quick.
I think you are missing the Breston element that Donovan Peoples-Jones very much has, where he just glides past people.
Yeah. That Ohio State return.
And he also, has
amazing.
Vision.
Yeah.
That man can take one step, see a crease, and get through it.
He also had a pretty not great section mid-season.
You know, there was a period of time where people wanted him to not be the punt returner anymore, and I understood why.
Yeah.
That's a true freshman who's also learning how to play wide receiver.
And all of a sudden got thrust into being the number one wide receiver. And he was good at it in high school. A lot of guys come into college and do not have those reps in.
Oliver Martin.
We have seen a small sample there. I like where you're going there.
Also a possibility there, because he was also a high school punt returner who was really, really good at the basic aspects of it, which is like field the punt and don't fumble it, and then has that athleticism. I think you could see him maybe. There's not really a whole lot of punt return type guys. The only other guy I might think could have a shot there is Ambry Thomas.
Yeah, and I think he's, to be honest, even more of a long strider than Peoples-Jones, so at that point, go with Peoples-Jones.
Okay. Tell me if this is crazy. Kalik Hudson.
I was going to say Mike Onwenu, so you went in a slightly less insane direction, and actually a significantly less insane direction. He did return kicks in high school.
He did.
He did, but
was awesome.
It was awesome. And now he's like 240.
I mean, I don't think you can put him back there as the punt returner.
One of the things...
I think on kickoffs, you might just be able to. And Kalik Hudson with a head of steam might...
Some Jabril in there?
It might be like watching a train like run through just,
everything.
It's like a pile of leaves.
So this is a thing we were talking about last night at the Chicago Alumni Association thing. Todd Howard had his spiel that he had about Jabril Peppers. We're friends with Todd Howard here on
that
podcast.
One. Are you? Are we friends with Todd?
I've met him. Okay. He's a good guy.
But has Seth met him?
Seth has met several Michigan football players,
has
among
he?
Them Todd Howard. And,
oh.
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
We're both from Southfield, Michigan. Anyway.
You're from Michigan?
I was
Sorry.
Born
Continue
Michigan.
With your thing.
No, he was talking about Peppers and how it takes a lot of... You're out practicing punts, and that means you're not with your group, and you're not practicing, not doing a lot of the one-on-ones. And in practice, that's where you learn a lot of your technique. And taking Kalik away from Viper when he's a true junior Peppers was a great punt returner. He got us what we needed out of that, but yeah. He was a worse Viper because of that.
No. I wouldn't say that. I would say that's a reason for optimism with Peoples-Jones, because there's no way he wasn't getting all the reps he could get at wide receiver last year and was getting put at punt returner because they knew he could do it already.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, too, is about Peppers as a punt returner is he got you so many yards just by knowing which ones to field and being able to get to balls.
Which
that
was
were
all of them.
And somebody who can get to those?
Yeah.
Peoples-Jones. I mean, Oliver Martin, too. That dude is a hell of an athlete. Yeah. I won't
all right.
That.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Kick return. Nobody cares. Because it's going to be.
It's over.
It's not a thing.
Fug broke the system, so they changed
Thomas,
the rule.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Clay Cutson.
Maybe they'll use that one play that sprung J.U. Chesson for a touchdown against Northwestern
in
Harbaugh's
cool.
first year, where they just pulled out a power play on a kickoff return.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And maybe this time they'll wait and use it against, like, Ohio State instead of friggin' Northwestern.
Well, it's possible that they identified a flaw in Northwestern's coverage.
You know, that's true. But, you know, other than seeing some creativity like that.
The one other thing that I'm curious about is punt block. Because Michigan had one against Maryland last year. Didn't quite live up to, like, I think the 7 they got the year before. So yeah. Baxter comes in Harbaugh's first year, leaves after 1 year, and then there's like a Wile E. Coyote year of awesomeness.
Yeah, but Kalik Hudson had one last year where how the ball was not blocked.
Oh, that's right.
Patrick Barron has a photo of it in our library that every time I look at it, I assume that punt was blocked, and it was not. So I think those guys swung through. The other thing I have with special teams that we have not, I mean, we've only brought up his name, but we haven't mentioned that he's gone, is James Folk, who was an absolute weapon last year. And I assume Nordine will take his place if they're not trying to overload him. I think
Moody's actually like specifically doing that.
Whoever will Nordine can put him in the end zone in his sleep.
I hope that they'll just go to like just kick it through the back of the end zone.
The rule change Fogue means it's doesn't
crazy.
You can't Fogue it anymore anyway.
So the rule change he's describing is now you can fair catch it in the field of play on a kickoff and it comes out to the 25. So the pop up to the 1 yard line that James Doug Fugue was so awesome at is no longer in the playbook.
So from now on, we should just place the ball on the 25-yard line to start every possession because kickoffs are a waste of time.
Yeah,
and maybe we could cut out the two commercial breaks that sandwich around them.
So here's my proposal is that extra points are now kickoffs, and you get a point if you go through the uprights. There you go.
The Hayden Epstein rule.
Okay.
That puts some salt on those
strong callbacks.
Some salt on those like penalties after a touchdown.
It does. One last thing with special teams.
Yeah.
The long snapper is named Cameron Cheeseman.
Also, he was the number 2 long snapper in his class per ESPN. He has long levers.
We have scouting reports on our long snappers who are named Cheeseman.
Did Michigan State give a scholarship to the number 1 guy? Is that what happened?
Tabor Pepper. Oh, God, I can't believe
it. Yep, I remember too because I wrote a hello post for that dude.
We stole a recruit from Michigan.
No, the... whatever. Anyway.
let us whatever the heck out of that.
So, defense should be awesome. I think it will contend with 2006 and 2016 and 1997 as the best defense in living memory.
Yes.
For me. If you're older. You've
seen some great things with Doshen Beckler. Congratulations.
Who gets the Heisman on this defense, then?
The Heisman on this defense? Well,
yeah, both those defenses had Heisman candidates.
After 6 punt return touchdowns, it'll have to be Kalik Hudson.
Oh. No.
Your other candidate is a Ndamukong Suh
type season for Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd vote for that.
I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but we can consider it a possibility.
I mean, there's not really that much to talk about because it's just like, this is going to be awesome.
They're going to be a top 3 defense.
I think the difference this
year. They might very well be number 1.
I think the difference this year is now that Don Brown's had them and they're not all underclassmen, he's going to run a lot more of the kind of zone stuff that he was doing at Boston College, where he was like trapping you into interceptions. Because last year they just ran a ton of man, which you can do with this defense all day. But I think they're going to have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, when you're prepped for that and you get that trap coverage, so you can definitely get some pick sixes off of that.
Yeah, and we did see, LeVert Hill jump a couple of routes where it was like he could do that more often.
All right, well that's our podcast. Thank you for listening to this part of the podcast.
Thank you for listening to this portion of the preseason MGO podcast. We need to have a company meeting and talk about what the definition of bet is.
Something you have to do and I don't.
That's not it, man!
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
Bam, 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 bam.
Is it, what is that? Is that Kips Don't Lie?
That's Wild.
That was Wild.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Hips Don't Lie.
I'm impressed that you thought I would like pull Hips Don't Lie out.
Yeah.
No fighting. We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.